There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. Hi Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
All right, we're back and we have a special guest over Zoom.
We do. We're drinking beer and she's drinking coffee. So, Abby, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, very good.
Very good.
It's 7:30 p.m. here in Sydney, and where are you and what time is it?
I'm in the UK. I'm in the Midlands of the UK, so right smack bang in the middle, just above London, and it is about, let me have a double check, 8:30 in the morning, hence the coffee. I think we're on the second one. I'm hitting it hard.
I've seen like a big percolator mix of her, like a French press, and she's going through it. Like, look at that.
It's nearly
good progress.
So it's kind of funny we started off talking about beer and coffee because we're talking to Abby about hydration in endurance sport. Because Abby, tell us what you are.
So I am the sports scientist at Precision Hydration, and I know you guys have previously talked to Andy before. So Andy is my boss, CEO, founder, all-round legend, Andy Blow. So I work with Andy, and what we do at Precision Hydration, I don't know if some of the listeners will have listened to that chat and I'm repeating now, but we do sweat testing.
They're all like idiots. They all listen to every episode. So
they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Already probably forgot. It's fine.
Probably forgot. Okay, recap then. We do sweat testing, which is looking at how salty people's sweat is. So rather than just saying, here's an electrolyte drink, one size fits all, we try and personalise athletes' hydration strategies and sort of zone into what they're losing and therefore what they need to be replacing.
Cool.
That's the gist of it.
Why?
The big question. Why would we do that? So if you're someone that sweats a lot and you're losing a lot of sodium, that can have a big impact on your hydration status and then a big impact on your performance. I say endurance athletes, people that are sweating, you know, for long periods, or people that are just training a lot, like if they're doing double sessions, you know, most days, then your sweat losses can accumulate over time. So it's for the sweaty people, basically.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't get it right, if you're not replacing your sodium, because the body's not particularly good at storing it, we don't have unlimited stores of sodium. You've got to be putting it back in if you're actively losing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might suffer things like muscle cramps, headaches, fuzzy head is a classic one. You know, maybe the shakes after a long run or something. Or just a fatigue that is like out of proportion sort of with the effort that you've put in. And you kind of can't shake this fatigue off. You might just be running low on sodium. And that's if you're someone that's out in a hot climate like you guys are in Oz, then a lot of people are just like chronically low on sodium because you're just passively sweating all day. And then you're exercising and sweating loads. And you're all trying to eat low sodium diets because we're all told that salt is so bad for us.
I eat a lot of chips.
Do you? That's good. The one thing I always say to people is like, is go large on the salt. If you're sweating a lot, like be way more liberal with the salt shaker. Chips, salted nuts. That's my one.
We could end the podcast there and everyone would be quite happy
with that. Eat chips, more salt, and more nuts. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
Dreamy
advice.
Like, how do you know if you're a sweaty bastard? Besides,
obviously, I think sweat rate.
Yeah.
Sweat rate is quite easy, isn't it? We sit down and we ask people, like, what's your sweat rate? What's the volume that you sweat? And people don't seem to have trouble answering that question because you either know if you're someone that's like a light sheen or if you're that person in the gym that's like a puddle, you know, and you're having to wipe down the bike afterwards. People are pretty good at knowing which end of the continuum they are on that on that factor. What we deal with is that sweat sodium concentration. How concentrated is the sweat that you lose? How much salt does it contain? And that's the one that people tend to not be too sure on, and hence why the testing exists. But sort of signs that would tell you that you're on the higher end would be if you see the white marks on clothing, or if you get really intense stinging of the eyes, if it runs into your eyes. For me, I'm a little bit on the salty side. When I dry off in the car after a session, I can like feel like crusty on my face, which is disgusting. But that's my sign that I'm a little bit salty. And if you just, you know, suffer in the heat, really, any time that your sweat rate peaks, if you find that you're suffering, if you underperform in the heat, if you suffer from muscle cramps, these are all kind of telltale signs that you might be on that higher end of the continuum. And I think it's important to bear in mind them two different factors, your sweat rate and your sweat sodium concentration.
Yeah,
so they're two things we need to combine.
That's the thing that I found really interesting is, so I did the sweat testing with my mate Deckers a couple of weeks ago, and he is a sweaty motherfucker. Like if you're running next to him, it looks like he's just run through a rain shower and I've run and it's been a sunny day. I'm a bit of a sweaty guy, but he's damp always.
He's next level.
Yes. And so we both did the sweat test, and he went in thinking, oh, I'm the sweaty guy. And I went in thinking, I sweat a bit, but not that much. And so he might have a higher sweat rate than me, but the concentration of sodium, which is like one of the important things, is his was lower than mine. So you might know the units that it's measured in, but his was like 730 something and I was like 840 something. And what is that? It's like concentration of sodium.
Milligrams per litre. Milligrams of sodium per litre of sweat is that number. So you're both actually pretty similar. You know, that would both fall in like the moderate category, but you are slightly saltier, which is always interesting when you get them two people or a group of people come in and people are adamant that they're going to be this or they're adamant they're going to be that. And it always is an eye opener because it's never or very rarely what they think.
I was great. I watched the identity shatter in front of his eyes. It was fantastic.
But he will probably, his strategy will still be different to yours because his sweat rate is so off the scale that his net sodium loss will be different to yours. So your concentration isn't too dissimilar, but the volume that you're losing is so different. He's losing such a bigger amount of sweat that his sodium loss adds up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Sorry, you go on, Abby. Sorry.
We measure your sodium milligrams per litre, and then your sweat rate is how many litres you're losing per hour. You, Paddy, might be losing like a litre per hour, which is a moderate sweat rate. It's like not to be disregarded at all. But your mate might be losing like 2.5 litres per hour. You know, he's like really sweaty. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to times this number, that's 740, by 2.5. To get your net, to get his net hourly loss.
Yeah.
Whereas we're only times in your number by one because you're only losing inverted commas, losing a litre.
Yeah.
So your net number is lower. And that's why you've got to account for these two factors. Just taking one on their own doesn't give us the whole picture. We've got to look at the two. And then the third factor is your duration. How many hours you're going for then? Because that's your hourly loss. But if you're going out and doing an ultra and you're out for 6 hours, then we've got to times that number that we've done the first output by six. So that's the calculation, that's the equation, that's what we sit down with people and we try to work out.
That's awesome. That's really interesting.
I think it's super interesting just for even for like non-elite athletes, just for your average Joe that does a lot of running, especially with our summer coming up, to know what you need to take in or what you should be taking in on an hourly basis if you're doing a lot of volume.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing is that your sweat concentration is pretty constant throughout your whole life, right? Like I'm 840 something milligrams of sodium per liter, and that will fluctuate a little bit, but really that's my sweat rate and that's just my concentration of sodium. That's pretty much a constant. So the thing that will change is my sweat rate, and that's like the temperature, the humidity, what clothes you're wearing, your intensity, how long you're out there. And that's, so once you kind of know your sweat concentration, then you apply that to your sweat rate, and then there's your strategy for the event, right? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that's perfect.
Cool, we're done.
You've been listening to Andy and Shane.
Yeah, so Shane is the bloke who operates in Sydney, and he's the only guy in Sydney that does sweat testing.
Yeah.
And he works under the banner of Ready Sweat Go. G'day, Shane. He's probably listening. And so he's affiliated with Precision. So he does his own thing and then, like, sends out the Precision hydration, I guess. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I was going to use the word supplement, but that's wrong. Like, what's it called?
What?
What's it called? I was going to say supplement, but that's wrong.
We would just call it, electrolyte tablets. We're not a big fan of the word supplement, because I think supplement encases so much, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, and some good and some not so good.
Are you taking steroids?
Yeah. What's that white powder? It's my supplement. We actually have a few questions from people who've asked.
Yeah.
Far away.
So I'm ready to, like, shoot some stuff at you, but is there anything you want to hit us with, Abby?
Oh, I mean, we probably covered most of it in the pre-chat, didn't we, before we hit record. Only that, Mike, I suppose, what do you think you would be? You've not had the sweat test. That would be interesting. We get your guess now, and then down the line we test you. That's right. What we need to do.
I don't think I'm a big sweater. Like, I don't think I sweat heaps. But I would have no idea what my concentration would be. Like, I don't have a crusty skin after. I don't have, like, white stains on my shirt or anything like that. I have no idea. I literally couldn't tell you. What's a low average?
So the average of all the thousands of people we've ever sweat tested is around the 950 mark. So Paddy and his mate were just slightly under the average, but loads of people fall in that kind of area. And then it's a continuum. So you've got people at both ends of that. A lot, lot higher, like Andy. Andy, the boss, is super salty. He's like 1,800, 1,900. And then you've got people right down the other end as well that are really dilute salt.
I reckon
300.
623.9 is my best.
There you go. Write it down. And then with the sweat rate, you said you don't sweat loads. How people would get a handle on that is some pre and post session weighing. Mm-hmm. Weigh yourself nude, do your session. If you drink anything, make note of what you've drunk, because that's like weight added to yourself. Towel yourself off afterwards and weigh yourself again. 1 kilogram weight difference is the equivalent of a litre. So you can kind of start to get a handle on your sweat rate and do that in different sessions, different intensities, different temperatures, and record it all and start to build like this backlog of data and start getting a bit of a idea of how your sweat rate changes depending on what you're doing.
Nobody's going to do that.
I'll get that.
Yeah, but you can't run naked. You'll get arrested.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, Abby said to.
Let me add a step. Wear yourself nude and put your clothes back on.
Oh, okay, I missed that. Abby, I have a question for you, and I'm going to kind of make it up on the fly because this has just come to me now. 2 days ago, I had a conversation with a bloke who has worked for sports nutrition companies for a few years. And he works for this new company that started like a hydration product initially for medical use, for people with, like, I think it was specifically to treat cholera, like people with severe dehydration. Like, it was a medical product and it kind of worked. And they're like, well, what happens if we give it to sports people? And apparently it worked well. So they created like a sports product around it. It's come out of a university in South Australia. And now I'm going to get this wrong, I will, but it has something to do with some kind of resistant starch that operates in a different way, which means it interacts with a different part of your intestine, which reduces your water loss during exercise. Is this completely news to you? Is this something that you're familiar with? Because I don't know if
The first part is like spot on. That's where electrolyte tablets, everything came from. Was it started out as a medical thing to treat cholera? Are you correct? And it's actually incredibly effective at that. Everyone thinks that. Not everyone thinks that's a bit of a blasé statement, but that you need to use an IV drip. That's the most effective way. But actually, giving them a like a diuretic, that's what we call them here. I don't know if you guys call them something different in Oz. Does diuretic mean anything to you? It's like a...
We have other things that end in light.
Yeah.
It's just a very, very salty, like salt tablet, basically. It's very similar to our pH 1500, but here in the UK, diuretic has a really strong blackcurrant taste. It's not particularly pleasant. Mm. You have it when you've been really ill, if you've been vomiting repeatedly, if you've had diarrhea repeatedly, basically if you're like extremely dehydrated.
If you're hungover,
we don't shout about that one. But the concept fits.
Technically,
we're theory. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but really. Yeah.
Really, we should try. I can see like a science experiment happening right here.
Abby's like
outrageous. I'm here to talk science.
We just need to take another 10 beers and have a few pH 1500s and then see how we feel tomorrow.
I've tried
field testing.
It works.
And it works. Oh. Yeah.
That's an equal one study. That's quality.
Yeah.
No, it does work, but we just don't shout about it because it's not the right thing to do.
for someone who's dehydrated through medical illness versus dehydrated through endurance sport, like it's the same mechanism, right? So it's the same solution.
The concept is the same. So dehydration is a loss of body water. It's a contraction of your blood plasma volume. And the whole idea of taking something like a diuretic or a pH 1500 or another high sodium containing solution is that the body's fluid and sodium balance likes to be in balance. If you put it out of whack in some way, the body will try its best to bring itself back. So how that works with having a high sodium solution, you put a bit more salt in the body and create an imbalance. The body doesn't want to make it worse by getting rid of its water. The body hangs on to its water. Water follows salt. So you put a bit more salt in the body and the body retains the fluid that it's got. And obviously if you put that high salt into a glass of fluid, you're also consuming fluid, so you're retaining more of that fluid that you're consuming, and it helps that rehydration effect. It's a really simple process, and it's so effective. I recently read a book, and I can't think what it's called, but it discussed the bringing out of these of like diuretic. I think it was originally called oral rehydration solution or something, the original one, and it was so effective at treating cholera. It brought down the fatalities out there massively. Sadly, it got a bit commercialized, and now they try and make money off IV fluids and things like that, when you could just send out salt tablets that are, you know, far, far cheaper. But that's the way the world works, isn't it?
One thing I want to ask is, we know, so you've already spoken to what happens when you have lost more salt than you replace, like cramps, fatigue, headaches, that kind of thing. What happens if you have too much salt?
Good question. This is probably like one of our frequently asked questions, because people hear that our high strength drink has three times the salt content of other sports drinks, and people are like, whoa. Isn't salt so bad for you? And so people are always worried about taking a bit too much or overloading. If you do take a bit too much, you'll feel thirsty. Coming back to that balance, you put too much salt in the body, will want to balance that out, and you'll feel thirsty. You'll want to drink plain water to come back to balance. In terms of like symptoms that you might experience, you might experience a bit of bloating or, you know, mild swelling, but you would have to really hammer the salt to experience that. thirst would be the main symptom of taking a bit too much sodium. And for athletes, it's not something to really be too afraid of. The whole idea is that you're taking this at times when you're going to be losing salt. We're always looking for like this zero sum equation. So you're only putting in what you're losing. So if you dial it in correctly, we're looking to optimize this, and there shouldn't be any risk of taking like excessive amounts.
And I guess then if you do have too much salt, you feel thirsty, so you drink more water, so you're a bit more bloated, so which means you might need a pee, and you're just wasting energy consuming fluids you don't really need to be consuming just because you're thirsty.
Cool.
Because that was one thing I was thinking. It's like, it's all about make sure you get enough. And I was like, why can't you just smash it and make sure you get enough by overdoing it? Because I know some people probably do that.
We definitely, again, we get that question a lot. We're like, well, why can't I just take 1500s like all the time? And then I'm like, never going to be low. But you're just giving your body like excess. You know, optimizing is always the goal, whether that be with like carbs and or fluid or training. Like, more is not always better. And athletes particularly have a problem with that, don't they? You know, if something's good, if some of something's good, well, more of it's got to be better. And we know that it's not the case in loads of areas of life. And I would say with sodium, it's the same. Nothing like horrific will happen if you were to take 1500s all the time. But if you were someone that really didn't need that much, if you were not a salty guy, not a sweaty guy, then you would feel thirsty if you were just hammering them all the time, and you'd be craving plain water during your training, during your racing, throughout the day. So it's just not worth doing.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you have, in the UK, do you have Tailwind?
We do, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because we've put out questions to
some
of our audience and said, do they have any questions for you? And a few of them that fantastic. I can see, like in front of me, like just talking about Tailwind. And I want to put some of them to you. And I feel like I kind of know what my answers would be.
Hmm.
But can I hit you with a question, Abby?
Of course. That's all right. What we're here for.
This is from Maddie Gore, who is...
Hi, Maddie.
He's a fucking animal. Like, he just eats kilometres for breakfast. That's what he does. Really quite fast. So Matt has said, what's preferable for hot ultras? Electrolyte solutions or carbohydrate and electrolyte mix solutions, i.e. does Tailwind have everything needed about electrolytes as opposed to a pure electrolyte supplement?
So this highlights like a massive topic, doesn't it? Any endurance event, you need three things. And Andy talks about this incredibly well. He calls it the three levers. Lever one, carbs. Lever two, fluid. Lever three, sodium. They're the three things that you're losing. They're the three things you need to put back in.
Yeah.
How you put them back in is really up to the athlete. We would advise that for something like an ultra, if it was a really hot ultra particularly, you would steer away from energy drinks or energy mixes would be our like standard advice. That's not to say that you absolutely shouldn't. If it works for you and it's worked for you in the past, stick with it. That's like what every athlete is looking to do, isn't it? Like, find this thing that works for them and they don't have a problem with. Why change a working equation? If we were having someone that was going out to do an ultra for the first time and they're looking for advice, like, I need to sort my nutrition and my hydration, what do I do, Abby? Then our advice would be to keep them pretty separate, that nutrition and that fluid and sodium, and be able to pull them levers independently.
Okay.
The reason that would be a big one there in that question was it's a hot ultra. And the problem when you start consuming energy mixes when it's hot is your control over them levers is now limited, because everything's in one bottle. Your carbs, your sodium and your fluid is all in that one bottle. When it's really hot, you're going to drink more, you're going to be thirstier, and you're going to want to consume more fluid because you're sweating more. That's just how it will go. So you'll be sipping on that bottle more because you want the fluid when potentially you don't actually need or want that carb. And what can happen by the upregulation of that fluid consumption is you overload the gut with more carbohydrates than you're used to. Yep. And did you say shit your pants?
Yeah, basically.
Exactly, exactly. That's where this was going. Yeah. That's 100%. Well, ooh, shouldn't say 100%, that's bad. But quite possibly going to be the outcome is like GI problems and just messes up your race. And you've done all that training and nutrition will trip you up. So our standard advice would be keep them separate, have your fluid and electrolytes in one bottle, and then look for gels, real foods, because ultra, the intensity is so much lower, the likelihood that the gut can handle real food. So trial real foods, but gels, chews, mix it up, basically keep giving the stomach different things. But that's not to say that energy mixes are like a massive no, because we've also worked with so many people that it has worked for and they get on very well with them. And particularly races where you've got to like be self-sufficient and be carrying all your own stuff, energy mixes are such a great way of getting the calories in. Mm. And they're very weight, you know, effective. So I think it comes back to sitting down with that athlete again and like working out what works and what is best for them, depending on what they need, what they're doing, what the temperature's like. But that would be my kind of general advice.
That's so interesting, the way you talk about it in terms of having three different levers that you can pull, which is your fluids, your sodium, and your carbohydrates. And something like Tailwind, it gives you everything that you need, but in fixed ratios, and you can't tweak those levers. So if you might have a day where it just happens to be the correct ratio and it just Tailwind would give you the right amount of salt and fluid and carb and you just hit that magic number. But I guess that would be quite lucky if that happened and you could just go for 8 hours on Tailwind all day, in which case, like, fuck yeah, that's pretty lucky and that's pretty amazing, but probably quite unlikely, right? You either need more or less sodium or more or less carbs or more or less fluid at some point.
Yeah, potentially. I think Tailwind is one of the better products out there. Athletes speak really highly of it. It's always quite pleasing when we hear that people have been using Tailwind because there's a lot worse things that they could be using out there. I'd say there's many occasions where it would work absolutely fine, but times to be cautious of it is when the temperature ramps up or when the duration gets longer. Or the intensity gets harder. All of them things put more stress on the GI system. And so something that works in the cold or works in the short or works in sort of the moderate intensity might not work when all of them things get greater and times get harder. So just be cautious of that if you're someone that uses an energy drink mix.
So basically our next 6 months, Tailwind will not be optimal.
Yeah, can be used, but should be individualized.
Yeah. Right? Because the next 6 months is going to be hot and disgusting and on fire.
Yeah.
So, great. Yeah, that's good.
The next one's from Rania, but you've already answered it. But I'll give her a shout out because I bloody love Rans.
Rans is a legend. I saw her today.
She was just asking about finishing a long run or a race and then being caked in salt, particularly on your face and all over your body. Does that have anything to do with hydration or an indication of electrolytes in your body? So yeah, it's an indication of your sweat rate and your concentration of sodium. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Rans is a smart gal, so she would have picked up on that.
She's an ultra runner and she's good and she knows us.
She's good.
This is just a question for the sake of asking a question.
Yeah.
Shout out Rans.
All right, I've got one from Pete Whitehead. Pete's a diesel engine. Like, Pete can go for hours. He's not super quick, but he just goes. Pete says, I don't do well in humidity and tend to cramp up post-race, yet I'm drinking water and electrolytes during. Is there anything else I can do to ease cramping?
Cramping is a great topic to talk about. And if I was sat down with Pete, I'd want to know what electrolytes he was taking, first of all, because a product that is labelled as an electrolyte drink can be surprisingly quite light on electrolytes, and that's highlighted when you sit down with someone, you test them, you look at what they're losing. Let's say they're right bang in the middle and they're losing like 1,000, but they're drinking a product that contains 300. So that's, you know, only replacing a fraction of that deficit. And it might be fine for like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But beyond that, that deficit that starts relatively small gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it starts to trip a person up when they get beyond that point. So that would be one question for Pete is what's that electrolyte that he's consuming? How much is that? But cramping is a really interesting topic and is multifactorial for sure. No one actually knows what causes cramping. Like, if they say they know, then just don't trust them because no one knows. And it's really hard to study cramping because to get someone in the lab and to get them to cramp is really hard. And is it ethical? That's like always something that is discussed. Is it ethical to like get people to cramp? And we know that people cramp more frequently out in the field. So you need to go out in the field to do these studies, but then there's so many factors at play that it's really hard to zone in on what is causing the cramp. But big theories are dehydration and electrolyte imbalance. That's like anecdotally a huge one. And certainly from my background and what I do and what we do at Precision Hydration, we've had a lot of success with people that suffer from cramping, supplement with higher electrolyte drink, and they seem to have good success. So there's something in that for sure. Other things could just be like general fatigue, like pushing the body beyond what it's trained to do. Like it's like the body putting the brakes on, basically. It's like, well, this is too much, you know, you've not trained me for this. And so everything starts to malfunction and misfire because you're just doing something that it's not adapted for. So like it's going out and doing an Ironman for the first time and then you're cramping on the run because it's just way beyond what you've ever done before. So making sure your training is really specific and you've done plenty of training. Glycogen depletion is another one that has been sort of flagged as a possible cause of cramp. Any others? We've got a great blog on our website basically about cramping, so I'd encourage listeners if cramping something that has been a problem for them, go and have a read of that.
It's actually a really good website. Like there's heaps of
there's good stuff on there.
Appreciate that. I write some of them, so I appreciate that.
Speaking to her, we're talking to a celebrity.
I've got another one from Mike Doyle. Mike's a bit of a running legend here. He will crack the 4-hour marathon at some point.
Yes.
I know he will. He's like, timing of drinks and when best to hydrate. So he's like, is it 24 hours before, the night before? Should you have a beer the night before? Is it right before the run? Is it here and then the run? Is it late in the run? When do you hydrate?
When
do you do this stuff?
So definitely before is very key and something that people often don't think about, or if they do, they think, oh my god, I'm racing on Saturday, I need to be really well hydrated, it's gonna be hot. So what do? They just start hammering plain water. They're like drinking way more plain water than they would ever normally drink, which is not something that they ever do before training, but oh my god, race day, let's be really well hydrated. And they drink loads of plain water, and it's counterintuitive because just drinking plain water dilutes the body's sodium stores and sodium levels. What happens when you do that? You're in the queue for the Portaloo and you pee it all out anyway, and you flush out electrolytes with that, and you just start on the back foot. You think you've done a really good job, but you're not in a good place. So what our advice is, again, coming back to that high strength electrolyte solution, something like our pH 1500 or similar, we'd encourage people to have one the night before alongside dinner, and then one the morning of alongside breakfast, and just be sipping on that. You mix it up in half a litre, like no pressure to finish that half litre if people aren't thirsty for it. Always just drink to thirst, but that will ensure that you're starting with high sodium, high fluid levels, like this greater buffer basically to then eat into as you start sweating. You know, the two things you're about to go sweat out, sodium and fluid. During, again, just have it there. Have the opportunity to drink and drink to thirst. The longer you go for, you know, once you sort of get beyond 3-4 hours, you might want to be erring towards more of a kind of strategy with your drinking. You might need to be more mindful of drinking a rough certain amount per hour, because it's very easy to kind of forget to do that. And that's when you can't kind of get away with it so much. You know, a 2 hour race, if you don't drink, you might feel a bit crap at the end, but it's not going to cause you any major problems, although it might influence your performance to some degree. But in an ultra, 4, 5, 6 hours, if you're forgetting to drink, then it can cause some serious problems.
Michael also wants to know, when is it too late? Like, you get to a point in a race when you're dehydrated and you just want to drink heaps, but it's not helping at all. Like,
and probably also on that is, if you are cramping and then you just like smash a couple of salt tablets, will that help?
Yeah.
Potentially. I've heard a few reports of people. We have a very good, we have our email that customers email into, and we have a customer support team. So anyone that emails in gets a human replying to them. And we've had a lot of reports of people saying, I was cramping and then I just smashed these tablets and then I was managed to finish the race. I don't know. I mean, the cure of cramping is like to stretch it out. So if they stop and they're stretching and then they take the capsules, what was it of them two things that really solved the cramping? I'm not sure. I'd say with Mike's question, if you get to that point where you're like desperately thirsty and you're feeling like you need to smash the plain water, that is you're way too late. You're far too late. At that point, I mean, you've got to be careful that you're not just consuming loads of plain water or any fluid at that point. You're limited on how much the gut can absorb, and just like downing a liter of fluid, you'll just get that sloshing. It's in the body technically, but it's not actually been absorbed by the body. It's just going to make you feel bloated and uncomfortable. Yeah, sorry, Mike, just don't let yourself get to that point.
Too bad, suck it up.
Yeah. Be a bit more proactive.
Less mistakes.
Ahead of that point.
cool, thank you. There's probably like 3 half questions because yeah. None of them are real.
Yeah.
Well, although one's from Eli. Eli's a legend. He's a great guy. He's asked a question about carbs and electrolytes.
You guys know a lot of legends.
Everyone's a legend. Yeah. Abby, you're a legend. You're either a legend or you're a dick.
Well, you're a bit of a dick.
You're a legend. So Eli's a legend. He's not a dick. He's just asked something about carbs and electrolytes, but we've smashed that for Eli. So thank you, Eli. Nidhi, is she a dentist?
Yeah, she's a dentist.
Nidhi is a dentist, right? Nidhi is a legend and a dentist. And she's just put a sly little comment here saying, do you have any suggestions that will not cause tooth decay?
Bloody hell.
Because, yeah, like Powerades and everything are basically just a can of Coke with a bit of salt in it.
Yeah.
But I guess...
That's a good question from a dentist.
Because, like, Precision, you have two options, right? You have one which is, like, just your salt, and you have one which is your salt and your carbs, which, like, has a bit of sugar in it. So you've got, like, the two actual separate runs, right?
Yeah, I'm very impressed, Paddy. You've done your homework. You're
real good.
Yeah, you're perfect.
Yeah, I drank the Kool-Aid.
All right.
Literally, I did. It's good.
Yeah, so you're so right. We've got the tablets, which are like virtually zero sugar. Yeah. They've got some artificial sweetener in. So if you're really worried about your teeth, that would be the one to go for. The sachets have a small amount of sugar. They're like half of what the Gatorade or Powerade has. They're isotonic drinks. We're a hypertonic drink, so less sugar basically. And that's just there to make them all natural and helps with gut absorption. Yeah. So I'll keep it super brief, but if you're worried about your teeth, tablets.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because there's like literally no
all sugar. The dentists out there, tablets.
Yeah.
We've got you covered. We've got the teeth covered.
Good. And then the other one is from Stu Dono. He's borderline. Legend and dick. Sometimes I think this question is a dick question.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a dick question.
Oh, God.
So, and I, to be honest, I'm not looking for an answer for you. I'm just going to read
it. Can we turn dick questions down?
No, I just want to read it out to make the public aware that Stu Dono is a bit of a dick. So he's just wondering, and you're no more qualified to answer this than anyone else. So Stu was during his long run last weekend, he was wondering, does the extra effort it takes to carry water on a hot day so that you can continuously sip, does carrying the extra weight offset the benefit of less weight but stopping infrequently at the occasional bubbler and tap?
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's a 5-year-old question.
I've never had that question before.
We figured.
And I would love to know the answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it would depend how long you're going for.
True.
Fair point.
Maybe we could set up Stu with his own little science experiment. Say,
exactly. You know, an N=1 study. Yeah. Right there.
It works for Stu. So if Stu will just do 2 exactly the same runs on exactly the same day with a similar temperature, you can test it.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to depend what the goal is. You know, is it to get to the finish line as fast as possible?
That's a goal.
Stu also has a really hairy back, so he could just shave his back and then he'd be able to cool himself down a little bit more efficiently. So
yeah, that one, yeah.
But we talk about low-hanging fruit, Stu. Don't worry about carrying So I just wanted to say that. I think that was the only other question.
There was one more.
Was there?
Yeah, from Bugsy.
Oh, yeah. He asked what colour Powerade is best.
Oh, no, I wouldn't know. We don't drink that crap.
Yes. That is the right answer.
So good. Abby, what are so for the average punter out here, top 2 recommendations from a sports scientist with a particular interest in hydration and ultra endurance events. Top 2 things that everyone should do.
Top 2 things, I would have an appreciation of your sweat rate and your sweat sodium concentration. And just bear in mind that 2 things are different, and try and have an idea of what your net loss might be. You know, are you someone that needs more salt? Are you someone that's going to benefit from more salt? Because there's this margin of people up this end that it will be really beneficial for. Yeah. So if that's you, do a bit more digging, have a more of an appreciation of it.
Yeah.
Probably the second one, and this is more applicable to sort of any runner, is like that pre-hydration. Think about that a little bit more closely. We sort of are this preloading, this having a high strength electrolyte drink beforehand is almost like a blanket recommendation. If you're doing something long, you're doing something hot, if you sweat, everyone, that's a bit of a blasé statement, but most people would benefit from that better pre-hydration, because a lot of us are just like chronically dehydrated. You know, we drink a lot of coffee, we drink beer, we sweat throughout the day. So pre-hydration and recognize sweat rate, sodium concentration.
Very, very glad you brought up the idea of pre-hydration, because it's a very, it's a common thing with myself and a lot of people that I associate with to have like 1 or 2 beers the night before a big long run. But like 1 or 2 beers is fine, right? Because you're not going to be hungover and you actually feel okay. But so I just want your thoughts on like the whole alcohol being a diuretic thing. Does that dehydrate you? Is that like putting yourself on the back foot? How do you feel about like 2 beers a night for an ultra marathon?
Can I also 2 beers with some 1500 pH?
Oh, wow. That sounds like another study to me. I wouldn't recommend it for a big ultra. Alcohol is a diuretic. Whether it'd have enough of an impact on your hydration status, possibly not.
I love that.
But I would have to like have a look, really.
So no, you don't.
So
well, happily, possibly not.
So you're saying it's a good thing?
Yes, basically.
Well, look, I'm not sure this is advice that I should be giving out, but I used to be a track runner when I was younger, and I had a big night out, and then I ran like the best 800 that I'd ever run the next day. Yeah, alcohol is sugar, isn't it? So is it a fuel?
So you were massively carb loaded then.
Yeah.
But I guess in 800 meters, sweat loss isn't a fat deficit, it's not endurance.
No, absolutely. Yeah, so being slightly dehydrated for an 800 meters, you know, a 2 minute race is not, it's not as impactful as being dehydrated before an ultra, is it? It's completely two different ends of the spectrum. I would say, let's end this on a good note. Do not drink alcohol before an ultra. I think that's probably the best message to give. Save that for after the race.
Abby's a legend, so listen to what Abby says.
Yeah, we're still going to cut this bit out now.
This bit's gone.
I think I just, while it's up front of mind for me, I think go to the Precision Hydration website, because the blogs are actually like really good and really in depth and have like heaps of topics there. There's heaps of reading you can do there. And it's good, you know, maybe do it on your work's time, maybe, so you can look like you're doing work but actually just be reading it. Yeah, do that.
That's terrible advice. That is bad advice, people. Don't do that. Sure. But so on that note,
for a race is great advice. Okay, good.
And do the online sweat test as well, which is very much just an estimate, but the estimate often correlates pretty well with the real thing. Mm-hmm. So on the Precision Hydration website, you can just do the online version where it's just, it's a quiz that takes like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it gives you an indication of where you probably kind of maybe are in terms of your sweat loss and sweat rate.
Yeah, it's like a good cornerstone to build from. It's like a marker in the sand, gives you something to trial, and then get in touch with us and we can help you refine it.
Yeah, so if you're in Sydney, reach out to us because we can help you get a sweat test done.
Yeah.
But if you're anywhere around the world, like Precision, you probably have guys all around the world that you can help people out with.
Yeah, pretty most places now, there's someone we could hook you up with. So, yeah, get in touch and we'll sort you out.
Oh, no, otherwise you can just travel to the UK. Oh, I know you can't.
COVID joke.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because we're fine. Anything we haven't spoken about, Abby?
Loads, I'm sure, but I think we've covered some good stuff.
We can always do this again in 6 weeks if there's other stuff we didn't talk about.
Yeah, can we swap time zones next time so that I can have a beer?
Well, what stops you from having a beer now? I mean, come on.
9 a.m. before a work day.
But it's 7 p.m. somewhere.
You guys are a bad influence.
Deal, Abby, that's a deal.
Yeah,
thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. I'm sure everyone's learned a lot from this.
Something.
So thank you for your time.
If any questions, just comment on our posts or reach out to Precision Hydration and they'll get back to you.
Fantastic. No, thanks so much, guys. Great to chat.
I'm going to take a selfie with you on the phone screen.
Are you? Oh, God.
I'm going to post this on Instagram.
This is going to go so well.
Yeah.
Are we there? We need to look that way, Patrick.
No, you look that way all the time.
Yeah, perfect.
That's actually spot on.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Thanks,
good stuff.
A fantastic.
No, you too. Well, evening. Enjoy the beers. And I'll catch you soon, maybe.
Cheers. Thanks, Abby.
Goodbye.
Bye.